Welcome to Health System CIO's podcast interview with Inder Kohli, VP and CIO at Englewood Health. I'm Kate Gamble, Managing Editor and Director of Social Media. In this segment, Kohli talks about what he believes are the most important and the most difficult components of driving digital transformation, the benefits of being a use case and outcomes-driven organization, especially when it comes to leveraging AI, why he's so passionate about improving IT service management, and his philosophy when it comes to enabling professional growth.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it. And thanks for flexibility. I know this time of year is busy, but it's always busy, right?
It's always busy, but I'm happy to. It worked out, so why not?
Yeah. To start, can you give a high-level overview of Englewood Health? What you have in terms of bed size, where you're located, things like that?
All right, so Englewood Health is a prominent health system here in northern New Jersey and the surrounding five counties, both within New Jersey and New York. Our primary facility is a 300-bed hospital, complemented by an extensive outpatient network, which includes physician practices, hospital outpatient department, imaging center, therapeutic services, and others. We have a team of 1,200 medical staff members advancing the mission of patient care. We offer both primary and specialty care services. Our vast physician network ranges from specialties like cardiology, GI, orthopedics, neurosurgery. And within the health system, we have cardiology, cancer care, orthopedics as some of the very significant service lines. We see about 2 million outpatient visits every year. And now I'll bring it to where I get involved in all of this, right? All of us are in the mission of patient care, but one of the key pillars of our success lies within our technology infrastructure, anchored by our single electronic medical record, Epic. So all through 150 locations, that hospital has one hospital, 150 locations, other locations, we have a unified platform of Epic EMR on our single network across the enterprise. How it helps is it gives really a seamless patient view, a seamless patient, a physician or a clinician experience at any of our sites in terms of accessing and interacting with the health system.
Okay, so that's definitely a good overview. And in terms of having that unified platform, how long has that been the case?
So we've been live on Epic for about 5 years now, and I can only go back a few years since I've initiated this process of a single unified network infrastructure built in a resilient manner and offer a seamless experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as you said, that really does set a foundation for a lot of what you do in IT. And of course, that relates to patient care. But what would you say are some of the key objectives for your team right now?
So key objectives, I would say, is in year 2022, the organization initiated a formal strategy, and 23 has been a year where we've been executing that. And as with any successful digital strategy, a vast majority of it is operational alignment. And that was certainly the focus for the first part of last year. And then we started adding tools and technology on top of it in the second part. So looking forward in 2024, really, the core objectives include really advancing our digital transformation initiatives, both around enhancing patient experience, clinician efficiency, leveraging all the tools and processes which we have worked on all through this year. So one of the initiatives is a digital front door portal. So introduce a user-friendly portal to serve as primary entry point for the patients or yet to be patient, and really streamlining access to services and information, enhance patient self-serve capabilities, enable more clinically integrated care. Because as I mentioned, we are on a single platform, and the platform lends itself to really have that integrated care across multiple disciplines. And being a health system, which offers 180 primary care physicians and specialty care on top of it, the infrastructure is there, the technology is there. We just need to ensure that our operations align with it. And of course, we add more tools and technologies and enhance it. Another pillar of our digital transformation is really to enhance our technology-enabled care, which is when the patient is not within our four walls, so to say, figurative four walls, because we have you know, 150 locations. So extendable technology capabilities to support, you know, patient care in the settings of remote patient monitoring or chronic care management. 23 was a banner year for all things AI. All conversations were AI.
Right.
And we were nimble enough, agile enough to update our digital transformation strategy to everything possible, aligned with our strategy. So we are looking in 2024 to really implement, utilize AI tools and solutions for both for patient experience as well as clinician efficiency. One area where we're looking at is an omni-channel virtual agent, which is really an AI-based self-learning agent, which can offer really information to patient, but also expand beyond offering information, go into the self-serve capabilities and across all channels. So again, that motive of omni-channel experience, seamless experience, no matter if you call us, SMS us, or visit our portal. We are looking for adding efficiencies and a better physician-patient interaction inside the exam room by ambient charting products, which really helps optimize our clinical charting process, gives clinician more face-to-face time with the patient, and a timely completion of chart and more accurate completion of chart in some cases for with charging and other things. Again, trying to help our physicians with their burden of inbox management, we are exploring generative draft response. This is an epic function available to us now to pilot and to expand. And that will really use a generative AI-based large language model to generate a draft response to patient queries for clinicians. A human will always be in the loop. It just eases the administrative burden on the clinician. Then as you move further into this year, as more products available, we definitely have interest in something called clinical summaries, which is actually a pretty efficient way of quickly going through all the pertinent portions of the chart, either for a clinician before the visit or during a handoff. Then behind the scene, denials management is one area which is ripe for AI solutions. And as the year progresses, we'll continue to exploring there.
Yeah.
If I have time, I can go beyond Epic and AI because, you know, that's just one portion of my job, right? Cybersecurity is in front and center of everyone's mind. So definitely improve the maturity of our program with more advancements with our SIM, with governance, risk and compliance, biomedical device security. Similarly with infrastructure, more resilience, disaster recovery, and then IT services management, which is one of my focus area from last year or so in terms of just enhancing the quality and timeliness of the service I provide to my constituents, all physicians, all clinicians, all the users of the organization.
Okay, that's a lot. Certainly a lot going on.
And I'm sure I missed several things, but it's top of my mind.
Yeah, okay. So I wanted to go back a little bit and talk about the strategy you've had as far as digital transformation. And you said that there was a lot of focus on operational alignment first. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Sure. We all who've been doing this for a very long time have learned that a clinical solution or a clinical technology solution needs to be weaved into a clinician's workflow. And we kind of perfected that art very well. With EMR implementation, the first things will be either we understand the workflow, redesign the workflow, and then lay technology on top of it. The challenge with digital transformation is that the key constituent here is not your internal user group. It's a patient where I do not know their workflows.
Yeah.
Do not know how they will interact with the system. So we had to rethink this process from a lens of a consumer who's coming from outside in. And we all want to offer them digital experiences, seamless experience, few clicks or few, you know, text messages, and they can avail of our services. But we need to be enabled in the operations to align with the experience we've offered to the patient. So if they did all their intake process beforehand, they should have a seamless, fast check-in process and see their provider directly rather than again being handed a clipboard or asked a few questions. That's just a simple example of operational alignment. But more complex will be, we are asking consumers to provide us more input, more data in the form of self-serve capabilities. It's not just humanly possible for our staff to sift through all this data and offer that experience. So this is where some realignment of our operational workflow processes and technology and tools on top of it. That's where I think most of the work goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a very deliberate approach. First really putting together that digital transformation strategy, as you said, back in 2022.
Yeah.
And then going from there.
Absolutely.
Okay. And with some of the many uses of AI that you were talking about, things like generating draft responses and managing inbox, it's really makes sense as use for AI, but was that something that your users had asked for, or was it just something that you chose because it does make sense?
So it's kind of a ladder. As I said, like from the beginning of 2023, we all have been tuned into all things AI for healthcare. Yeah. Our strategy has been, either look for our current vendors first, or if it's aligned with the strategy, go to third party. So generative draft response came as a no-brainer because we've been working on some of the inboxes management initiatives with the clinicians for a very long time. And those are slightly different. They're more automation than really what this offers. And so when the capability came from our EMR vendor, we were definitely the first ones to jump into it. We want to learn about it. And then as we shared with a few of our clinicians, there's definitely an excitement. There's an excitement with caution about mm-hmm. Let's see what the responses will be. So it is something as we, as a sponsor group, kind of learned about it, educated ourselves, and are planning to bring in it as a pilot. All these will definitely be a pilot first, but our goal is if pilot is successful, then ramp up.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like that's a really important approach to take, particularly because you said the last year or so, we've heard so much about things like ChatGPT and the sky high potential, right?
Absolutely. And that is where I think, as I always say, we in technology have been using AI for a very long time. I've been using AI in all my other tools. It's really the generative AI, which has all this buzz around it, and rightfully so. Because finally, there's that promise of able to communicate with computers like humans. So I absolutely understand the buzz. And we definitely want to, in a responsible manner, realize the benefits of it for both of our clinicians and patients.
Yeah, and that's a challenge that I know I've heard several people talk about, is the approach to it, where you do want to make sure that you're doing it responsibly, but I guess managing expectations is part of that. Is that part of your objective?
You're so right on that, because I think the earlier question I could have answered differently too, that whether we brought these tools to our clinicians and users, they were getting bombarded with offers of help me solve this problem, help me solve your clinical efficiency, help me lay out this tool in your environment. So they were getting bombarded with all those requests. So yes, managing expectation is very important. We absolutely are approaching in a very methodical and a controlled manner. We would not want any of our clinicians to ever utilize a tool which is not blessed by, so to say, the core enterprise technology yet. And so we try to get ahead in the process by really tackling the use cases which are more prominent, more aligned with our strategy, have a better value for our clinicians. And so really trying to get ahead by investigating, by trying to bring in pilots and include them in that decision-making and whether to roll this out enterprise-wide or not. Yeah. And thankfully, all these tools offer that opportunity to pilot without a long-term commitment.
Right. That's such a big part of it. Looking to 2024, there's more ways in which you want to use AI tools and solutions. Can you just talk a bit about that and, what the approach is there?
So approach is, I think the more targeted approach is what I mentioned earlier around omnichannel virtual agents, ambient charting, draft responses. That's kind of aligned with our digital strategy today, right? As we were nimble enough to adjust our digital strategy to include what's possible with our AI functionality. We definitely want to evaluate this further as and when the functionality becomes available and if we have the use case for it, because we are a very use case and outcomes driven organization, and rightfully so. In the time of scarce resources, you want to prioritize your resources to where there's more value. And value could be anything, right? A better patient care, better clinician experience, or something like that. So there are opportunities to explore in technology side of things. So whether it's cybersecurity, continued evolution of AI tools, and that's where we want to utilize them. For our infrastructure resilience, absolutely. But on the clinical side, I mentioned earlier about the handoff summaries and clinical summaries, potential denials management. If I were to make a guess, if we are successful with our initial pilots, I think for better part of the year, we'll be rolling those out for the rest of the organization. I think that's where we will be spending most of our time. Yeah. I would like to focus on few targeted things, my teams to focus on few targeted things and achieve those outcomes rather than starting too many things in parallel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah.
So you did mention also a focus on IT services management. Can you talk a little bit about what you're hoping to do there?
Sure. So this is something which is, I would say, I'm very passionate about and have been working diligently for the last year, year and a half on just overall improving our IT services management in terms of our internal user experience. And some of it actually gets up to the patient experience side of things too. As you can imagine, an organization with 150 locations with a user population, which is not contained within the four walls of one building, this is a consistent challenge. And the things that help there is a process, a methodology, and everyone adhering to that. And that's what I've been bringing the ITIL principles in all things we do in terms of service management, responsiveness to the users, closely monitoring the data. This is not so much about tools. Only 20% of this is about tools. This is more and more about people, process, and methodology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm focused on. I've brought in someone dedicated in this role to work with our service desk vendor, which is an outsourced vendor, work with our team, work with our users to overall improve everyone's experience.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously that's so important, especially considering what a lot of organizations have gone through in the past few years of just being able to recruit or hold on to good people.
Yeah, absolutely. And then people, we all have resource challenges, but again, I would say I didn't approach it as a resource issue. I think I approached it more as a process and optimized methodology issue first, and let's review the data. And if the data lends itself to as a resource as an issue, then we have those discussions. But so far, that has not been the case. It's not a technology issue too. It's really an issue of streamlined process and methodology. We are healthcare, are still a very high-touch organization, and I want to maintain that because we do offer that level of service to our clinicians.
Yeah. In your role, I would think it's also a priority to really be, lack of a better word, growing future leaders or kind of helping people develop. And how is that something that you are focused on?
Correct. And I would say, and not just growing leaders, growing everyone where they are, like growing my entire team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone undergoes a growth. It's not always just about title. It's about learning, and it's about knowing more than before, and it's about able to do more than before. So one way I've been in healthcare IT for over two decades. This is honestly the only industry I know like the back of my hand now, right? But that's not the case with everyone. And about half of my team can technically work in any industry they choose. So, and if they choose to work in healthcare IT, my primary goal is to connect them with the mission of the organization. Because I do believe it takes a special kind to work in healthcare. And they need to experience it themselves. They need to be connected to the mission. They need to understand what's at the end of the service or a tool I'm providing. And oftentimes, almost all of the time, at the end of it is a patient. And that's a very personal thing. And all of us have experienced that as being a patient or a loved one being a patient. And that personal experience is what they need to bring back to get motivated to do this job. To be very honest, some of them can go to another industry and have maybe relatively easier job. But if they connect with the mission of the organization, they stay here. And I oftentimes see people stay here. And I am blessed to have a team who is very, very engaged. And, it's not a team I brought in, it's a team I inherited, but I am proud and thankful to call them my own.
Yeah. And what are some of the ways in which CIOs and other leaders can do that to really, make sure that their teams are tied into the mission?
So I wish I can say I have a three bullet strategy for it, but
Right.
not really. I keep saying two things. One is that keep bringing the mission and keep telling the why. I was having this conversation with one of my managers this morning. I said, I'm just not giving you work. I'm also telling you why we need to do it. And I think that why helps. Why is this important? And oftentimes that why is helping our clinician taking care of patient or the patient themselves. So that is one. The other way I feel I can connect my team more with the organization is if my projects, efforts, and initiatives are weaved into organization's mission and strategy. Because then I am, as I say, we all are rowing in the same direction then. And there are, then the opportunities are plenty. Because I am not solely responsible to explain what this clinical program will bring. Because there's an organization strategic priority, which has a very clearly defined goals and outcomes, which I just need to bring it back to my team and for them to align with why working on this project or initiative is important and what are the outcomes. That has worked with me. Beyond that, I don't know if there is any other. I'm curious to learn if there's more I can do.
As you said, I don't think that there's not a three bullet strategy or anything that's going to work across the board. People are so different everywhere.
Absolutely. And some choose to stay, some don't. And that's fine. That's okay. It's not for everyone, but my goal is to, of course, everyone to connect with the mission for the time you're working with us. And they all work and they stay. And so, as I said, I'm lucky and I'm blessed to have the team I have.
Okay. And then one of the last things I wanted to ask you about is that you spend some time teaching, and that's something that's always interesting to me because I'm sure that it's obviously beneficial to your students, but it probably benefits you as well, just being around, this kind of different group. But what has that been like for you?
I think it's a very rewarding experience. It was my attempt in giving back. And I did that for 10 years. I'm actually anxious to go back into it. They keep me very busy here these days. So, but I want to get back to it. So it didn't start out with me looking for a teaching opportunity. It just started in Cornell when they were initiating a healthcare informatics certificate program. So it just like-minded people, and I was connected with them. We all got together and developed curriculum. Then I started giving some guest lectures and helping with the projects, and that converted into a full master's program. And I stayed on with that program for about a decade. I think that the driving force there was to give back, to teach them about how healthcare works in a healthcare provider organization, how technology works in a healthcare provider organization. And you're right about that. It is refreshing. It keeps me on toe in terms of being on the cutting edge. But more importantly, it I think allows for those of us who are doing this 24/7, day in, day out, to kind of take a step back and consolidate that learning in a format so that others can understand. Because that inherent knowledge we have developed could be verbalized in a manner which others can consume. So I think that that is an advantage if you are trying to teach someone versus just do your job.
Oh yeah, sure. And as you touched on, getting perspectives, a different perspective always helps.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. But I would like to actually have a separate conversation at some point, maybe about what you're doing with cyber, because I feel like that's such a big area.
Absolutely, I'll be happy to because I've been very, very involved in cyber over the last few years. Yeah, so I would say that's about 30% of my job.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, I'm happy to share my perspectives when the opportunity arises again.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from healthsystemcio.com. To hear other podcasts, visit our website or subscribe to our account in iTunes at healthsystemcio.com/podcast.